Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
We tend to forget.
Well, hello. It is Sunday, October 20th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart, with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 3, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
Doctor, I'm going for number 3, brother. as you know, man, it's been one of those days, doctor, but I'm grateful for this ministry, doc. I'm grateful for it, man, and I'm here, doc. I'm here.
That's what's up. Glad to hear from you, man.
Yeah.
Glad to hear.
Yes, sir. Thanks, doctor. Thank you. To my family and my friends, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. You can call in, press the number 1, and you'll be placed in queue. And at that appropriate time, you will talk to the good brother Hakim and myself. Amen. I am excited. I know my voice don't sound like it, but I preached afternoon service, and my voice is kind of gone. Shout out to Isa Memorial, amen, for 43 years of service to their community. Amen. Was pastored by the Reverend Prince Albert Williams. Amen. My father, my friend, he has been everything. My Sunday school teacher, amen. But I am happy, I am excited, and I am full of joy. And it is my prayer that you are too. On this show, it is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. But it's also my job to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I believe in that. Again, my job is to help you, is to be a comfort to you. I have a service to this community, to this airwaves, and to this network. And it is my job to make sure that you, as God's people, have what you need. Amen. I always like to open up this show with a word of prayer. I do believe that prayer changes things. Amen. So let us go to the throne of grace right now. Father God, we thank you yet again, Father, for all that you have done today. Father God, you have blessed in so many ways. You have opened up doors, Father, in so many ways. Father God, now we ask that you would help this old preacher, Father, to get this word out that you have given unto me. And let it be a blessing unto somebody's soul on this evening. Let somebody's life be transformed. Let somebody's life be changed. And Father God, we just ask that you will open up the doors, Father, and let the people come on in and experience your saving grace. Now, Father God, I ask that you would bless Brother Hakim, Father, continue to show him his mercy, Father. Bless Michelle, Father, the leader of our network. Continue, Father, to show her grace and mercy. Father, if we're in need of anything, Father, we ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would make it so for them right now, Father, that you would bless them right now, Father. Hold them up and keep them in all the days of their lives, Father. The three of us will be forever grateful for what you're doing, and we will forever give you the praise that you so rightfully deserve. I just thank you right now for them, Father. I thank you right now for this ministry. I thank you right now, Father, for taking us higher and higher, because I see the vision, Father. I see what you're about to do. And I'm just so grateful that you chose me. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. as you guys know, that I am one that pride myself on being truthful with my listeners and to open up the doors for communication. And thus, through this communication, I received 4 questions, and we are finally caught up with all the questions that asked. And so with these 4 questions, these are the new one of them. I think I have touched on already, but amen. If you are a new listener and you have a question, I'm here to answer it. Amen. Hello, Pastor D. I am sure that you have answered this question before, but what are your thoughts on suicide? Well, suicide is something that happens when one loses their grip on their mental psyche. Suicide, in my opinion, and what I have learned from the scriptures, there is no scripture that says that if you commit suicide that you go to hell. That is a Catholic that you go to hell and you're torn to pieces right then and there over. Okay, but the Bible says hurt and lowly in spirit. First off, if a person is right in their mind, they will not commit suicide. So there has to be an issue going on within their mind that's telling them that they have lost all hope. And we all know that to have hope is to have faith in Jesus. Thus, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't have the hope, which means that you are susceptible to anything that may try to come in and that may try to tarnish your life and try to take you away from your loved ones. And in the midst of all of that, when you find yourself desiring to kill yourself, to commit suicide, believe me, believe in what I'm about to tell you, is that God is with you. God does not allow you, if you do that and you succeed at it, God is there to pick you up. Now, here's the thing about it. If you live your life not believing in God, and you allow Satan to run in life, and you commit suicide, then you will experience the hellfire because you lived a life not believing in Jesus. And thus your ultimate goal was to kill yourself, and thus you did it, and thus now you spend eternity in hell. If you were a believer who fell on hard times, who fell on the issue, whatever it may have been, and that happens, you are judged on a life that you have lived up until that point. God is with those who are lowly in heart and lowly in spirit. Just like those who are mentally challenged, they don't know that they don't know and cannot understand the things the way that some of us can. Thus, are you telling me that they will not enter into heaven? They will. Because it's the same exact way. They don't understand what they're doing. Their mental psyche is a little off. Thus, By being that way, God is with you. But now you cannot live a life like a heathen and then expect to get into heaven. It doesn't work that way. Thus, I will say that those are my thoughts on suicide. If you lived a life of hell, you will experience hell. But if you lived a life trying every day to make today better than yesterday, and you just found yourself not being able to do it, and you found yourself on a losing end, and you decided to do that, and you were successful, I do believe that God will save you. Amen. Second, Pastor D, I love your show, but I have to really ask you, do you really believe that Jesus walked this earth? Do I really believe that Jesus walk this earth? Yes, I do. With all my heart, with every fiber of my being, I do believe walk this earth. I believe that he healed the sick. I believe that he raised the dead. I believe he was the gap in the bridge, and with his mighty arms he held that beast, continuing, he held up and he's continuing to hold the bridge so that we can reach God, because nothing else could do it. Whether you call him Jesus or you call him by his original Hebrew name, which is Yahshua, it's your decision. But I do believe that he answers and he hears my prayers when I call on the name of Jesus. Yes, I do believe that he walked this earth. But my question is, if you don't believe that he walked this earth, show me your proof. And I can show you mine. I do believe that Jesus walked this earth. There are actually historical documents. If you go to the library and ask them for the historical documents, they'll tell you, will see in there where there is a writing of Jesus of Nazareth who walked this earth. So again, we pride ourselves on being an information age. Then that's the information I just gave you. But yes, Jesus did walk this earth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Number three, as a new listener, what are your thoughts on the president and everything he has done? Let me say this. So long as we all have breath in our bodies, we have an opportunity to change. We can change the way that we act, change the way that we think, change the way that we walk, change the way that we breathe. We can do all things. So long as our heart is pumping blood, we can change. What the president does, that's between him and the good master. God will deal with whatever he does. God will fix it. God will deal with it. And no matter what nobody says, we as people don't need to be like the Israelites. We don't need to be like priest-like people. Or if the kings were bad, the people were bad. If the kings were good, the people were good. We don't need to be that way. Thus, I'm here to let you know that what he does, it may and it may not affect me. But if it affects my brother, I'm going to be the first one to tell you that God will deal with it. God will be the one that will take care of it. And all you have to do is to stay out the way. Too many times we try to get in the midst of it and try to fix things up ourselves, and we cause calamity. We make it worse than what it was before. So, to answer your question, got to deal with that. I have no thoughts on that. I'm not one to pass judgment. Now, is he wrong at some things that he said? Possibly. Got to deal with it. And if it's not God's will for him to be in office, believe me, he won't be. But I would be more concerned with, why did God allow him to be in office? What was going on that we as a people were not doing that God allowed another heathen into the office? Maybe we were not giving him the praise that he so rightfully deserved. Maybe we were giving Obama more praise than we were God. And God said, how dare you praise man who is here 1 minute and gone the next, but I am eternal everywhere, and you don't even think of me. I know every hair on your head, every grain of sand on a beach. I know everything about you, every molecule. But you haven't thought about me. haven't thought about me. So that's where I'm at with that. Let God deal with that. The last question is, hello, Pastor D. Why did God condone slavery in the Bible? In the Bible, when it speaks about slavery, it is not the same slavery that the Africans felt when they came over here. Slavery in those times was a life debt. Thus, if we all were in the Old Testament times, and I asked Brother Akim for some money to get my son out of jail, and he gave it to me, and at the time came that I was supposed to give him back the money, and I didn't have it, then I became in servitude to him. And so I had to do whatever needed to be done in order to pay off what I had borrowed from him. But God also let it be known that if you have slaves, you cannot just treat them any kind of way. You have to respect them just as much as you want the respect. Thus, this is not the same slavery. You see, you get around people and they'll read one scripture, and that's it, just to pacify what they're saying. But they're not reading the one after that or the one above it. God did not condone the slavery that the Africans went through. God did not condone that. But see, we're too busy talking about what the white man did to us, but we don't talk about that our own people sold us into slavery. We don't discuss the fact that the African tribes, that the warrior tribes sold their prisoners and sold their slaves into slavery and sent us on the ships, on lifeboats back to the mothership. We don't talk about that. We don't let that be known. Our children don't know about that. Most of our adults don't know about that. Most of them go off of what they seen on the movie Roots, and where it makes it seem like we were captured, and that's not the truth. We were sold for guns and for spices and for modern technology of that time and malaria. But nobody talks about it. We blame everybody else but the ones who did it. Am I saying that the Europeans are exempt? No. No, they're not. But when we want to talk about slavery in the Bible, we have to make sure that we know what we're talking about. Because it's not the same. Amen. I want to just for a few minutes, I want to touch on something. I want to give a little testimony on how good God is in my life. Many days, I wake up and I look around my life. And I always ask God to show me where I can help somebody. Last week I was on my way home and it got cold. And I stopped at the gas station and grabbed me something to drink, and you know, because it was just so cold that you had to bundle up. It went from 70 to 40 in one day. And as I came out the gas station, there was a young man walking out, had no coat, had just a t-shirt on, and he was freezing. And my Jesus spoke to me and told me to give him my coat. And the obedient servant that I am, I did just that. And he looked at me and said, "You're giving me your coat? And it's cold out here." And I said, "But brother, I have never experienced a cold day since being with Jesus." And he began to cry. And he hugged me and he said, "Thank you, brother." And I told him, at that moment, the next person that you see that's in need of help, you bless them. You give them a blessing, and you tell them to bless somebody else. And if you do that, and if they do that, the more we bless people, the more people are going to see the works of Jesus. It's all about who you bless. It's all about what you do. And only what you do for Christ will truly last. I just wanted to share that with you because it was so profound to me. And I went back to my car and I did not experience no cold air, no nothing. I was hot. I was warm. Because I was able to save the life of somebody else. Amen. So I urge you, my friends and my family, that when it comes to a time that you have to do a work and God is asking you to do it without an issue. Because there's a blessing for you. There's a blessing for you. Amen. As we go into the main topic of this evening's broadcast, I have a scripture that I would like to read to you out of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. And it reads, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me hates my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." May God continue to bless the reading of His holy word. My subject is a world's view. The gospel according to John is one of those books that grips at the heart of the reader. As Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the synoptic gospels, which means that you can find a similarity in all three of those gospels, John being one that you cannot find the similar statements that you can find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You will not find them in John. John is a writer who wrote specifically about the actions of Jesus. Amen. And what I love about John actually, he wrote to everybody. He wanted everybody to understand the love and the compassion and the joy of this Messiah. Thus, seeing this here, seeing and knowing that Jesus spoke these words and said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." Well, let's talk a little bit about John, amen. About this book, amen. John, the meaning of John means Yahweh has been gracious. It was written between 60 and 90 A.D. Amen. It is the 43rd book in the Bible, the fourth book of the New Testament, and it has 21 chapters, 879 verses, 19,099 words. It is also mentioned that John was one who was identified as a disciple whom Jesus loved. John was one that walked with them, but John looked at the messianic side of Jesus. He looked at the side of Jesus that none of the other ones really touched on. And John's book is a book that will grab your heart and make you want to learn a little bit more. But let's get into this for a minute. The world's view. Why is it that the world hates Christians so much? Why is it that the world can't stand the working of Jesus? Why is it that the world, it cannot stand the humble approach? Well, let me tell you why. The reason why the world cannot deal with what Jesus did is because the world did not give it to him, and the world cannot take it away from him. When somebody gives you something, they try to help you to get to that next level because they invested into you. But the world did not invest into Jesus. In fact, the world tried to take everything away from him because the world is so sick and so full of sin that it wants to stay in that lot. The world wants to stay in that darkness. The world does not want to see what Jesus has for them. The world's view is something dark and dirty. As Jesus spoke these words, the Pharisees were at that moment, planning to kill him. Planning to kill him. But for a Christian, for one that is saved and sanctified and without shadow of a doubt, you know for sure that Jesus is your all in all, then you know that if the world hated him, so it should be not a surprise that the world's going to hate his followers. You see, sometimes, I'm going to touch on it for a minute. Sometimes we find that we can do a lot of things to cause problems for ourselves outside of the world hating us, and it just compounds onto us. But what I'm saying to you is there's already a target on your back. And if there is a target already on your back, why aren't you running to Jesus? Why aren't you saying, Lord, save me? Even though I know that there is no weapon formed against me that will prosper, I'm not saying that the weapons are not going to come at me and not going to shoot at me and not going to pierce my skin, but you promised me eternal life, and if I have eternal life, then they won't kill me. So what I'm asking you is, why do this world hate Christians? Why did they hate Jesus? Well, Jesus was a revolutionist. Jesus came with a radical form of preaching and teaching. Jesus was one of those men that you can just look at and know. You ever met somebody and you just know without a shadow of a doubt that they have a close, tight-knit relationship with God? And you know, among anybody else that's around you, you know that when they pray, that God hears it. And it's just to react on their behalf. Well, in the midst of this, when all these Sadducees and these Pharisees and these high priests and this big old Sanhedrin, 70 men, Sanhedrin, all of them saw the works that Jesus was doing, and they saw the fruits that he was planting in the lives of these people, and they saw the miracles that he did. They saw the healings that he did. They saw the blessings that he did. They saw all the things that Jesus was doing. He was turning around. He was turning their frowns upside down. He was removing the stain of oppression and depression off of the people, and they saw all these things that he was doing. They saw that the money and the prestige was leaving their hands, and thus they had to find a reason. Oh, come on, somebody. They had to find a reason to hate him. It wasn't about what he was preaching, because you know what? They themselves didn't hardly know the law. They prided themselves on knowing the law, but they didn't know, because if they had known the law, if they had studied the scriptures just right, they would have known that this boy was and is the prophesied Messiah. But instead, the greed got so much for them. The greed and the desire to want got so much for them that they just couldn't handle it. And thus they tried to destroy the works of Jesus. Well, I'm here to let you know that all of that was just put together by the enemy. The enemy knew that he could not fight Jesus, so thus I'm going to try to find some men and some women that I can use to tear him down. Many times Satan tried to whisper to Jesus and told me, you're not strong enough. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? But Jesus didn't allow the enemy to penetrate his ears. Do you know? The world's hatred of Jesus was a sin against God. For Jesus came to reveal the love of his Father. Jesus and God are one, those people who hate Christ cannot call on God and say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. You are deceiving yourself. I'm here to let somebody know today that Jesus is real. And though this world has a view of Jesus, I want somebody here to understand that what Jesus put in place for us cannot be watered down. It cannot be modified. Nothing can be added to it, or nothing can be taken away from it. The word is the word, plain and simple. When he gave up his life for us, he had you on his mind, me on his mind. When his blood was spilled, he did it for all of us. And yet the world still hated him. They hated him. Do you hate Jesus? Or do you love him? How do you feel about Jesus? What are your thoughts on Jesus? Too many times, and this is my show, I can say it. I'm gonna tell you just like this. The world gives the church enough crap. We as leaders, we need to stop giving them fuel for the fire. We need to stop giving them the ammunition for the guns. None of us are perfect. And we all have issues. But we as leaders, we have to stop allowing Satan and the love of money and the greed and all of these things. We have to stop allowing that, what we feel and what we want to do, our selfish ambitions, we have to stop it. Because it's giving the church a black eye. And then we wonder why people hate the church. We wonder why people don't want to accept Jesus. But we don't look at what we have done all these years and we call it righteous, and we know that it's not right, but we still go along with it, and then we expect different results. Well, I'm here to let you know that if you do the same thing every single day and you expect better results and you see that it's still not working, but yet you don't change, then the blood falls on you. Not on those that's trying to do right. You see, sometimes we give the world what it wants through our selfish ambitions, through our natures, our sinful natures. We give the world what they want. I knew he wasn't who he said he was, and he out here doing this and doing that. We give the world that. We all fall short. There is no big sin and no little sin. None of that. Sin is sin. And when you fall into sin, if you're not reaching for Jesus, you're just going to sink deeper and deeper. I'm here to let you know right now that the world hates you, my brother and my sister. But be ye comforted, because you need to know that Jesus loves you. And Jesus prided himself on overcoming this world. He did not allow the works of the enemy to stop him from doing the mission that God placed before him. The world hates your praise. The world hates your dance. The world hates your worship. The world hates your humility. The world hates your love. If the world could stamp out the church and everybody live a life that they wanted to live and not give God the praise, they would do it in a heartbeat. I guess my question is, which side are you on? Saint or sinner? Good or evil? What side are you on? Jesus or the enemy? Are you hot or are you cold? What is it? You see, the greatest part about this is that Satan is so crafty. Satan is so devious in his work that if he does not deem you as a threat, he won't bother you. But it's only when he deems you as a threat will you start experiencing what Jesus went through. It is only at that time that he deems you as a threat that the people will start to throw darts and arrows and knives at you. He said, they hated me. And surely if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And they hated me without a cause. But Jesus, this mighty man, stood boldly before all and proclaimed the word of God and allowed God to have his way in his life. He didn't make excuses. He did what he had to do. What are you going to do? What will you do for the sake of the gospel? How will you stand for Jesus? Are you going to be a coward and run because somebody hates you? Or are you going to stand on the love between you and Jesus? What will you do on this day? Amen. I'm going to leave it here just for a second. And I want to just take a moment and offer you an opportunity at getting yourself right with Jesus. If you know for sure that you're ready to turn a relationship and your relationship back around with Jesus and you want to be in right and in good standing with him, I offer Jesus to you now. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again on the third day. Be the Lord of my life. I am yours. You are mine. I accept you. Please forgive me of my sins and use me in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it in your heart that you wanted change, salvation now belongs to you. God bless you. Find yourself a Bible-based church. Learn about the Word. Apply it to your life. And go out and tell somebody else about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word? I know we're down to just a few minutes.
Yes, we have a couple of people. We're going to bring in Darius first. He was the first in. He's been waiting for a while.
Amen. Good evening, Brother Darius. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, I just want to mention quickly that we need God again in this world.
Amen. Amen. How do you know that? That's my question. How do you know that we need God in this world?
I believe that in probably in the last few years, I've seen stuff I've probably never seen before, and I've never seen this much division pitting people against each other, no matter what race you are, and the unnecessary events is happening in this world, from fires, tornadoes, violence, and people are ignoring the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Doctor. You answered that question. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Very thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anybody else?
The next
on? All right.
Yep.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Deacon Maurice.
219 area code.
Hey, Deacon Maurice, how you doing, sir?
There you go.
All right.
Okay, man. God bless you, Doc. I haven't heard from you in a while. Good to hear your voice.
You too.
How things been going for you, sir?
Good.
Good. What was your what was your Bible, your Sunday school lesson about this week?
Which Sunday school? Because I got two of them, the adult or the children.
Your adult.
The final confirmation with Pharaoh, your adult.
Okay. Amen. At the shores of life, God poured out a blessing. Amen. Amen.
I had something I wanted to read.
Okay.
Let's talk about what you and my father talked about today. Preaching said, 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God."
Amen. I 100% agree. Love shows a lot of character, Doc, and it shows the full character of God, because everything he did it out of love. Amen.
And Jesus,
thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He just continued on that love affair. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Deacon. It's always good to hear from you, Doc. God bless you, sir.
You too.
Thank you, sir. Amen.
Okay,
all right,
brother.
One more. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello, Reverend Townsend.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening.
Good evening. I enjoyed your sermon there and talking with everyone that's listening. I enjoy listening to your sermons and just wanted to say hello and hope you have a blessed evening.
Amen. Thank you so much. I am going to do my best. Actually, once I'm finishing up here, I think I'm going to go and get up under the bed. I'm kind of exhausted. I'm so exhausted that I think I'm going to get up under it. So I'm going to have a nice little time.
Well, that's a blessing.
Amen.
Will you make sure that you do exactly what you say and enjoy it?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
God
much.
God bless you, dear.
All right,
too,
God
honey.
Bless you, too. Thank you. Amen. Well, you know, this has truly been a blessed episode, and I pray that somebody here heard the words that I was saying, that I am saying to you, that God spoke through me, because we need to understand that He is watching everything. We need to make some changes in our lives, and it starts with us. If we desire to see our next generation to become mighty men and women of God, we have to make some changes now, because the world is ready to swallow them up. On behalf of the good brother Hakim Nuba, brother Darius who called in, Deacon Maurice who called in, and my mother who called in, amen, Sister Betty, I am Pastor D. Townsend. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. I love you. We are signing off. Good night, and God bless.